Hello and welcome to the Push Notifications Quick App. My name's John Mulhausen. I'll be your Quick App guide today. Of course, we're not just making an app. We're also making a web service that can send push notifications to this app, which we're going to publish on Windows Azure. So here's our agenda. After the intro, we're going to make a web service that sends the notifications. We're going to post that service live on Azure, and then we're going to make an app that receives the notifications. And those sections where we're actually doing any kind of techie work, 19 minutes in total. Which is pretty good. That doesn't include demoing the app or any of this jabbering over the slides. The assumptions I'm going to make are that you've installed the tools. You know what push for Windows Phone is, which is server-initiated messaging that is relayed to the phone by the Microsoft Push Notification Service, or MPNS, which frees the phone from having to pull new information by constantly pulling for updates or doing a manual refresh from within a phone app. Then I'm going to assume that you can code and that you're going to pause and rewind when you need to so I can keep this video nice and short. I don't assume that you've ever used Azure. I just assume you've signed up for an account and have one ready to use. I don't assume you know about publishing or consuming web services. I walk through all of that, and I don't assume you know exactly what our push platform can do specifically. And speaking of which, there are three types of push notifications. One is a tile notification. When you pin an app to the start menu on the phone, then it has a live tile that you can update with a push notification. That includes the graphic of the tile, which must be 80K or less and download in 15 seconds or less. Tile updates are still received even if your app is running, so be careful of stale live tiles. The next kind of notification you can send is a raw notification, which triggers no visible reaction from the phone unless you code it to do so. It's only for when the app is running, and it can be used for anything, but it has a 1K limit, so if you wanted to push, say, a new graphic to your app, you would send the URL for it and handle it download separately. And the last kind of notification is a toast notification, which just looks like the text messages you already get. A little message pops up from the top of the screen, popping down, sort of like toast. If the app is not running, the message pops down from the top of the phone. If it is, then you kind of decide whether to pop it down or not. And all toast is used for is to contain a short message with a subject and a body. Okay, so let's get into our agenda. Step one is creating a web service, because the nature of push notifications is that a server somewhere thinks that your phone should know about something, not the other way around. Right now, there's no way to simulate doing this, so we have to use the actual notification service. And there's a 500 push per day limit for a phone app installation, unless you've gotten a certificate from a root certificate authority, which costs money, and uploaded that to App Hub. So we're just sticking with the freebie stuff for now. I don't cover that here. Open Visual Studio, start a project of type cloud, and add a WCF service web role, giving it a unique name from the project. Once open, you can clear the contents of the default class in the iService1 file, which defines the interface exposed to clients who connect to the service. We expose the following four methods. 1. A method that logs the GUID and channel URI for a phone app that would like to receive push notifications. 2. A method that dispatches a raw push notification. 3. A method that dispatches a toast notification, which will pop up a dialog on the phone with the specified message. And 4, a method that dispatches a tile update, which changes the image, title, or displayed number count for an app's tile. The implementations for these methods are entered in the service1.svc.cs file. Again, clear the default contents of the class there. Here, I put a note that when the service starts, it should load up the existing list of phone app subscriptions from a database. We don't cover this functionality here, but you'll want to do this in order to have persisting push notification subscription. Next, as a class-wide data member, I define a dictionary whose keys are GUIDs and values are URIs. This is so that the phone represented by the GUID is paired with a Microsoft Push Notification Service URL, which will receive notifications on the phone's behalf. It's now time to implement Subscribe My Phone, which will populate this dictionary. As you saw in the iService file, we receive a GUID representing a phone device, and the URI that is configured to receive notifications on the phone's behalf. All we have to do is check the contents of the subscription URI's dictionary for the existence of this GUID and either create or update the URI there if it exists. Again, you'll want to have the functionality that enables the persistence of these subscriptions. And again, that isn't covered here, but I mark it as a to-do item. You'll also want a way to remove such subscriptions if a user opts out, and that isn't covered here either. However, you do want to note that for every app, you have to allow users to opt in before you send them a single push notification, or else you will fail the app marketplace certification. Because these aren't being saved in a database anywhere, the subscription list will be reset when the web service restarts. Now we implement push raw data, which sends a raw push notification to all phones in the aforementioned subscription URIs dictionary. Raw notifications are for in-app use only and can only be received by the phone when the subscribed app is running. Raw notifications have a size limit of 1K. Raw messages are sent as a byte array payload in an HTTP POST packet. So here we encode the message as a byte array using a UTF-8 encoding object's getBytes method. Later we will implement the method named sendToPushToSubscribedURIs that iterates through the subscription URIs dictionary and sends out this raw notification. For now, just ignore the red squiggly line, and let's move on. Next up is push toast, which sends what we call a toast notification to all phones listed in the subscription URIs dictionary. These notifications can be received by the phone even if the app is not running, popping up much like a piece of bread from a toaster from the top of the phone screen over whatever is being displayed at that time, giving the user a chance to tap the message to open the app and see what's new. Toast notifications are not raw, instead using a publicly understood XML structure to denote what the message's subject and body will be. We add a using statement for the system.xml and system.io namespaces, giving us access to the XML writer object that will construct the XML message and the stream object that will temporarily contain this message in its buffer before it is sent out. The structure of the toast message has the following conventions that you need to keep in mind. 1. The prefix for each tag in the XML message is always WP, and its namespace is always WP notification. So you see that in every XML element we create here when defining the toast message, or tile message, which we will do in the next method. 2. The overall message is contained in a tag called toast. 3. The subject of the message is contained in a tag called text1. And 4. The body of the message is contained in a tag called text2. You see how to deal with all these conventions here. Flush the final XML document from the XML writer object into the stream object using the XML writer object's flush method, very simple, then send the stream along to the same method we used earlier called send push to subscribed URIs, again ignoring the red squiggly line for now, and again encoding the stream as a byte array. Note that I'm using a string parameter here whose value is toast so that that method will know how to handle it. Finally, we come to tile notifications. If the app is pinned to the phone's start menu, then these notifications are very useful for letting the user see updates without launching the app at all. Tile notifications can change a number that is displayed as an overlay on the tile, indicating things like, for example, the number of messages awaiting the user in that app, and so forth. The notifications can also contain a URL for a new tile graphic for the app, so long as its size is 80K or less, it downloads in 15 seconds or less, and the phone knows to expect tiles from the domain listed in that URL, which we specify in the phone app code later. The last thing you can do with tile notifications is change the title of the tile, which shows up as text overlaying the title graphic on the phone's menu. We again use the XML writer object to construct an XML structure that defines the message. The conventions guiding the construction are much the same as the toast message, except here we use the tag tile to encapsulate the message, the tag background image to encapsulate the URL for the new tile graphic, the tag count to encapsulate the value for the tile's optional numeric overlay, and the tag title to encapsulate the new title for the tile, which can have the appearance of actually renaming the application because by default that is what the title of the tile will be. At the end of this method, you repeat the same procedure for encoding and sending the final XML message that we used in push toast, except we changed the parameter, the string parameter to tile, from toast to tile. It was raw on the first one. And we here can ignore the red squiggly for the last time, because now we finally implement the method that packages the message and sends it off to the phones. Step one of implementing that will be creating a little symbolic way of referring to something called the batching interval. Batching intervals are what are used to group together push notifications according to a time interval. These batch intervals help the push notification service on Microsoft's end batch together messages in updates, which improves reliability and data use. Because the values aren't straightforward, it's good to give them these symbolic names. Here you see that if you demand that the notification be sent immediately, it's 1, 2, or 3, depending on the type of notification, but it's 11, 12, or 13 if it's okay to wait up to 450 seconds, and then 21, 22, and 23 for up to 900 seconds. Feel free to use whatever batching interval suits your notification's urgency. Finally, it is time to make use of the payloads we've constructed by implementing send push to subscribe to URIs. We package these payloads into the body of an HTTP web request object, which sends it to the Microsoft push notification service using the channel URI contained in the subscription URIs dictionary we populate via the subscribe my phone method, which you saw earlier. To make use of the HTTP web request object, we add a using statement for the system.net namespace to the top of the file. And then for each key value pair in the subscription URIs dictionary, we do the following. Create a new HTTP web request object using the subscribe phone app's channel URI as the destination. Two, we set its request method to post. We set its content type to text/XML. We set its content length to the length of the payload that this method received as a parameter. And finally, we add a header called XMessageID containing a new GUID value so that this message is unique. And that'll help you track it later if you want to debug or see what the response on the phone end was. And now here is where things get different based on the type of notification being handled. We use that string parameter to change the value of another header called xWindowsPhoneTarget, a header that we actually will not even use if the notification type is raw. If the parameter says toast, then we'll set xWindowsPhoneTarget value to toast. If it says tile, then we'll set that value to token, not tile, but token. And if it says raw, then we leave out xWindowsPhoneTarget altogether. We're also changing the value of a header called xNotification class, which is used every time. And here you just set its value to the batching interval value of our choosing. You can use whatever value you like in your service. Here I'm using the values that indicate that the notifications are going to be sent immediately. And again, those values are different based on the type of notification being sent. We insert the payload into the body of the HTTP web request object by using the write method for that request object's request stream, indicating that the starting and ending byte position should be 0 and the payload length, which adapts the stream size to match our payload size exactly. Then we simply execute the request, which sends the final packet off to the channel URI for that phone app subscription, and you've done it. That's all the coding. One last step we're going to do is add some tile images to the project that we'll use for tile notifications. I include some you can use in the source download zip. To add them, right-click on the web service project, select Add Existing Item, select the image files, click Add, then select the images in Solution Explorer, changing their copy to output directory value to copy always. So you've made a web service. Now, to post it live, I'm going to take a blank Azure account that you have signed up for on your own and walk through very quickly how to get that live. You don't have to do that, but you do need to put your service somewhere that your phone can reach and that will reach the internet, because your service needs to go outbound and talk to Microsoft to get the push notification to a phone. Just so you know, if you did want to do the Azure route, there's an introductory special. It's free to try, and you get a huge block of usage out of that time that I would not even come close to using with any of the code here. So it pretty much is a free way to get a web service up and live on the internet for the purposes of getting through this walkthrough with me. It also plays very well with Visual Studio, just as a side note, and WCF, which automates a lot of things for you with using a web service. Okay. Right-click the Azure project, select Publish, and then in the Credentials drop-down, click Add, scroll all the way down to Create, and give the certificate a name. Back in the Publish window, click the link to copy the full path of the certificate, then click the link to go to the Azure portal. At the portal, click the Hosted Services button, then Management Certificates, then Add Certificate, then click Browse. Paste the full path of the certificate you created, which is in your clipboard, and click OK. You'll get a subscription ID in response, copy this into the clipboard, go back to Visual Studio on the publishing screen, and paste it in. Now back in the portal, click Storage Accounts, then New Storage Account, and give the storage a URL and choose the data center that will host this account. Now that you have a place to host files, you can use it for hosted services. Click Hosted Services, then New Hosted Service, enter a name, a URL, use the same data center as before, and select Do Not Deploy. These new creations take a moment or two to become available, but once the statuses on the Azure portal say ready, you can go back to Visual Studio, and when you select the credentials you created before, the subscription ID will pull up the available storage accounts and hosted services associated with it. Select your new creations, changing the deployment environment to production, and click OK. Visual Studio will begin publishing your project to Azure, which takes several minutes. Here, this is sped up to take 10 seconds. After it's live, you can click the URL, but it's not until you add service1.svc to the end of it that you see the web service interface, and that is how you publish to Azure. From here on out, consuming this web service is as simple as adding a service reference to the URL of the SVC file in Visual Studio. All right, home stretch. So now we're going to create the phone app that will receive these notifications. The phone app will create the channel that is open to receive the notifications. The current release of Windows Phone 7 has a one channel per app limit. That may change, but you regardless would want to use existing push channels again, as shown here, using the find method. The current release also has a limit of 15 push channels being active on the phone at once. As long as you're handling the error occurred event, you'll capture that limit being reached. You must ask the user to opt in to receiving push notifications in your app, or else you'll risk failing certification for when you try to publish to the app marketplace. And if you want to test push on the phone emulator, you need to enter a proxy for the SOX protocol in the Internet Options Control Panel, which I very briefly run through doing here. Otherwise, you can just do it on the phone directly, which has proper SOX implementation, and it'll run just fine. Launch Visual Studio and start a new project of type Silverlight for Windows Phone. Add a few text blocks that will show some output for you on the screen. Here I have one called Subscription Status, one called Raw Message, and one called Channel URI Text Block. Another one I added has deployment instructions in blue text for your edification if you downloaded the source code. You can ignore that as we go through the code here. In the CS file for main page, add using statements for these namespaces: system.io.isolatedStorage, system.io, microsoft.phone.notification, and system.collections.objectModel. At the top of the main page class, we'll add some data members that will be used across multiple methods within the class. The first is a GUID called DeviceID that identifies the phone to the web service. Next, we need a client that will call our web service. Service Reference 1 is the default name for your project's first service reference, so I use it here, naming the client My Client. Service Reference 1 will resolve after you right-click References in the Solution Explorer, click Add Service Reference, and enter the URL for your web service's SVC file. The channel that your app uses to receive push notifications is the next data member. We call it My Push Channel, and later it will receive a URI that is unique to this app installation on this phone from the Microsoft Push Notification Service. Next, I add logic that checks the phone's isolated storage for a key named device ID. By using isolated storage, this value remains consistent between different times that this app is run, as though it were stored in a file on a computer's hard drive. If there is no value for device ID, one is generated and stored. After that, the final GUID is loaded into the data member for this class, which is also named device ID. Next, we instantiate MyPushChannel. The URI that MyPushChannel uses to receive push notifications also remains consistent between different times that this app is run. That URI is also retrievable by passing on a string key, though this one returns a push channel rather than a string from isolated storage. I've named this app's notification channel MyChannel, and we use that key, passing it on to the static method find to look for it. If it does not exist, which we determine with a null check, then we operate as though my channel needs to be created, and instantiate my push channel as a new channel that uses that my channel key that we looked for earlier. Before opening the channel, however, and getting a URI from Microsoft for this channel, we need to assign functions that handle certain events for it. I collect the assigning of these functions in a method named attachHandlerFunctions. Here I wire up all the event handlers for the app, assigning the delegate functions that will receive the callback when certain events fire. Here I'm just finding the event I want to fire in IntelliSense, typing plus equals and hitting tab twice to auto-generate a blank handler. I want to handle error occurred, which fires if there is an exception originating in my push channel. On the web service client, I'll handle subscribe my phone completed, which was automatically created when we added a reference to our web service that is out there running on Azure. As you saw, when we made the web service, I didn't create this event. I just created the method subscribe my phone. So that's the magic of WCF working for you. Also want to handle channel URI updated, which fires whenever a URI is retrieved from the notification service, and HTTP notification received, which fires when we get a raw notification. Now, I wire those all up by calling attach handler functions, and then it's safe to call the push channel's open method, which will retrieve the push notification URI from Microsoft, and call the method that handles channel URI updated whenever that completes. If my channel did exist before, the open function isn't called, but I do attach the handler functions. If you'll bear with me, because we're not really storing channel URIs permanently on the web service side as it's currently implemented, I'm sending over the existing URI via a call to subscribe my phone. Normally, I'd only do that if channel URI updated were firing. Last thing to do is handle these events. Here, if a raw notification is being received, I'm just displaying it on screen. Notification events fire in the push thread, so I have to use Dispatcher to interact with the UI elements and print the message. And I decode that message from the notification body with a stream reader. Next, we'll be handling channel URI updated. This fires when the Microsoft Push Notification Service has sent along a new URI at which it's going to receive push notifications on this app installation's behalf. We know that such notifications can arrive whenever something happens out in the net that a server thinks we need to know about, whether our app is running or not. The way to ensure that these notifications are displayed to the user is by making the push channel bound to the shell. A push channel can be tile bound, meaning it can receive updates to the live tile for the app. Here I check whether this is so, and if it is not, I enable this binding, and specify the domains out on the net that I authorize as OK to send tile updates. And I do that in a collection, and that's why we included the collection's namespace earlier. The domain that I would like to authorize to send new tiles is, of course, the domain at which my Azure service is published, which is hosting some tiles out there remotely, and we will push those tiles down to the phone and update the live tile for this app. After you're done specifying the domains in that collection, you just pass the collection on to the bind to shell tile method, as you see here. Your push channel can also be toast-bound with the shell, meaning that it can receive toast notifications that pop up on the screen, whether the app is running or not. And it's even easier to enable this than with tiles. You just call the bind-to-shell toast method, and you're done. I want to note on screen that channel URI updated has fired. And once again, since the event we're handling fires in the push thread, we must once again use the dispatcher to interact with the UI, like so. The last thing to do for this event is let the web service know that there's a new URI at which our phone receives push notifications. So we call Subscribe My Phone to let the web service know what it is. As you saw when we coded the web service, we made a method named Subscribe My Phone, but Windows Phone 7 only does asynchronous web service interaction, so the name of the method we call to call Subscribe My Phone is the auto-generated Subscribe My Phone async, and the results of this call are passed in as the E argument when the web service responds. Web service callbacks fire in the UI thread, so I just print subscribed right on the screen. If the push channel had trouble instantiating or getting a notification URI from the service, I print it on screen in the handler function here. And actually, I'm going to jump back up to the subscribe my phone completed handler and make it so that a successful call there prints the channel URI on screen. Don't do that in real life, obviously, not very secure. But I do it here so you can see the Microsoft Push Notification Service in action. And you've done it. That's the phone app. Let's run this thing. If testing push on the phone emulator, launch the Internet Options control panel, then click Connection, then LAN Settings, check to enable proxy usage, and enter a proxy server for the SOX protocol. Now that the phone emulator can receive push notifications, I can launch the push client project. Right away, you see that the channel URI updated event handler prints a channel URI on the screen, and the successful call to the web service prints the string subscribed. Now, to send actual notifications to the emulator, I'm going to launch the Visual Studio command prompt and type WCF test client, which is all one word. In this tool, I add a reference to my deployed web services URL, specifically the URL of the SVC file, like you see here. The services methods are then exposed in the tool, and I can invoke them freely. Here you see me try all three of the types of push notifications. Just note that the tile updates are only visible when the app is pinned to the start screen. Because I bound the channel to the shell and gave my web services domain permission to send updated tile graphics, all in the app code, my phone device can receive tile and toast notifications even when the app that created that channel is not running. As we all know, that's a very useful conceit when doing push notifications. We also see that clicking on the toast notification takes me back to the app. So here I try a toast notification, I give it a subject, I give it a body, invoke, shows up almost immediately, click it, I'm back in the app. And that's everything. You created a web service, posted it to Azure, invoked it with a client, which caused it to send a push notification to Microsoft, which had a special URI set up to receive notifications for your phone, and then you made an app for your phone that called this web service, letting it know that special URI, and told the app how to authorize and process notifications. Thanks for sticking with me. I hope it all hangs together after going through all the steps. If you have any questions or comments, you can reach me at jomul@microsoft.com. And if you want more on Silverlight for Windows Phone or for any other platform, go to silverlight.net. Thanks a lot.